humans are trying, and this is sort of one of the happy sides of, we'll say, worries about catastrophes, die-outs, and extinctions. And you start with how many plants around the world are there? And there are millions. And at least 3 million seeds from most of the Earth's plants can fit in two rooms that measure about 66 feet by 50 feet. Now, at least that's the current plan for what is being called a frozen Noah's Ark, to be built inside of a cold mountain on the archipelago of Svalbard in Norway, which is up near the North Pole in the Arctic. And construction on this Noah's Ark to save the Earth's plants begins in a couple of weeks. And it's expected to be finished by October of this year.
Okay.
Now, this Noah's Ark for Earth seeds is being paid for by the Norwegian government, and it's in affiliation with the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. It's an office called Global Crop Diversity Trust. Now, the fear is that global warming will keep increasing over this century, turning some farmland into desert, flooding other low grounds, and generally changing the growing seasons, rainfall, and the distribution of insects. And many plants won't be able to survive these rapid changes. And some scientists fear that even the Amazon rainforest might not survive into the next century, as incomprehensible as that might seem here today. And if we lose the diversity of crops that we have now, we could end up seriously depleting this planet's future food and medical supplies, because we get lots and lots of medical chemistries from plants. Now, the Noah's Ark seed vaults will hold samples of all of the food crop varieties in case plant breeders will have to design totally new varieties to survive on this changing planet. And the steady cold temperature of the Svalbard Norway mountain, which is far enough above sea level to remain dry even with rising waters, it could sustain frozen seeds for 200 or more years. And the scientist in charge of creating and sustaining the Noah's Ark seed vault is Cary Fowler. He has a PhD. He's executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust. And earlier this week, I talked with him about the latest United Nations report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It says, in worst case, the average global temperature could increase 11.5 degrees over the next 90 years. I asked Dr. Fowler what he thinks the consequences would be for the plant world if there is that much global warming.
Well, the consequences are almost overwhelming, particularly because the most severe impact of climate change is predicted to occur in regions of the world that are least capable of adjusting, where the poorest people on Earth live. We're going to see variations in temperatures. We're going to see more extreme weather events, disruptions in water supplies. The list is long. Many people might think that having agriculture adapt to climate change is going to be reasonably simple and straightforward, to move a particular variety that's growing in one place up several hundred miles north just because the temperatures will be about the same some years from now in that new location. That's not going to work. We won't simply take existing varieties and move them to a place where the temperatures are the same as they are now. If we were to do that, we would expose the plant to different seasonality of light at different latitudes, different day lengths, all kinds of things that would trigger biological responses in that variety that really wouldn't work in the new location. There'd be new pests and diseases, new soil, new amounts of rainfall. So all of the characteristics that go into making up a modern wheat or corn variety are really going to have to be juggled around a little bit to produce varieties that farmers can grow under new conditions. It's going to be a major, major challenge.
This Noah's Ark
may be vital to perpetuating food and crops and plants on the earth now?
We think it might well be. We will have to breed new varieties of agricultural crops if we expect to even keep pace with current production levels, much less feed a growing world population.
That is faced with so much change in the climate.
That's right. And I'll mention one other thing, because one of the ways that climate change will manifest itself is through water. Agriculture today takes about 70% of freshwater supplies, but agriculture competes. It competes with the cities and industry, and there are over 200 major river systems in the world that provide water for agriculture that are flowing through multiple countries. The demands on water supplies are going to increase, possibly increasing conflict over water, and agriculture is going to be squeezed from urban users. So we're also going to have to produce agricultural crops that produce more crop per drop.
And the question is, how many populations of humans are now going to have to be moved over the next 9 decades because of sea level rise, while you're trying also to provide biodiversity in plants that could feed these people who are moving?
Well, that's right. It gives you a bit of a pause if you think, erroneously, I believe, that crops can simply be moved around the world.
Could you explain how you're going to build this Noah's Ark and where exactly?
Svalbard, that's reasonably near the North Pole. It's a part of Norway. It's actually under an international treaty, but Norway has sovereignty. If you fly as far north in Norway as you can fly, you need to get on another jet plane and fly about an hour and a half north of there. So if you're going to trek to the North Pole, this is where you're going first. Once you get there, you'll land in a small village. There are about 1,500 people that live there year-round. It's very much a Norwegian research and government site. Very cold, as you can well imagine. And it's a mountainous area, and the seed vault is going to be built inside the mountain. We're going to tunnel about 120 meters through solid stone to a place in the mountain, which at the moment is about minus 6 Celsius. Very, very cold, and there we'll have two rooms, two vaults, 24 meters by 15 each, and this is where we'll store about, well, we'll have the capacity to store 3 million seed samples, and each sample would be about 500 seeds. It would be about 500 seeds of a particular variety, and those seeds would be stored in foil packages that are sealed inside boxes, and we'd have the capacity for storing about 3 million such samples, which represent virtually all of the diversity of agricultural crops that can, in fact, be stored as seed. Seed of most agricultural crops can be stored safely alive, kept alive for a long, long time, simply by having the moisture level in the seed reduced to a very low level to reduce biological activity and then freezing them. And if you do this properly, depending on the crop, you can store seeds safely for decades, hundreds, and there are even some projections over 1,000 years.
Wow. And how high above sea level would this Noah's Ark be?
Well, it's going to be quite high above sea level. I think 120-something meters. So we've calculated worst-case scenarios for climate change. And if both of the polar ice caps melt, if the ice in Greenland melts, this facility is still going to be many meters above the worst-case scenario of where the new sea level would be. And even if global warming takes hold in Svalbard, relatively speaking, this is still going to be a much colder place than most of the rest of the world. We'll still have frozen conditions in the seed vault 200 years from now if our worst-case climate change scenario is true.
When you talk to your colleagues, what do you see as the worst happening?
The worst happening is a melting of the ice caps and significant changes that will cause large social disruptions, particularly in developing countries. We really want to avoid that. And one of the things that the seed vault will do is to provide human beings in the future with the security of knowing that the agricultural options that they need are still intact. We're not saving diversity because it's pretty. This is not a museum or a stamp collection. It's really something that is quite critical. I've been asked the question, well, what would happen if a nuclear bomb drops straight on the seed vault? And I guess my answer is, well, I don't know. I guess suppose it would depend on how big the bomb was. So there are really no guarantees in the world. They're really just probabilities. And so what we're trying to do is provide as robust a form of insurance as possible. But I wouldn't ever want to say nothing can go wrong, because on Earth, as long as human beings are here, something could go wrong.
And without it, we might end up losing biodiversity of the previous centuries up to this date in the face of total unpredictability of what's going to happen in global climate change.
That's right. And of course, we're still subject to problems of natural disasters and wars and civil strife. I mean, we've lost several important and unique collections in the past few years. The Sikh collections in Iraq and Afghanistan were destroyed in the chaos around the wars there. We had a typhoon that struck the National Seed Bank in the Philippines this past September, destroying some of the collections there. And when I say that it destroyed some of the seed collections, I'm really saying that it drove them into extinction. These are varieties that will never exist again, just as gone as a dinosaur is. And what we can expect is that it destroyed diversity, traits, perhaps disease resistance, perhaps a nutritional quality, perhaps a taste, perhaps a color of a flower that will never exist again. And this is something we simply cannot continue to allow to happen if we are serious about wanting to remain on Earth ourselves.
And George, the concept of a Noah's Ark to save Earth life has now also been picked up by other scientists worried about declining amphibians. It was just a couple of weeks ago that scientists met in Atlanta, Georgia, from literally all over the world. And what they want to do is launch a global, what they're calling, amphibian ark. And this is a project with a goal to save thousands of frogs, toads, salamanders, the species of amphibians. And they are threatened now by so many things, fungi and pathogens, increasing UV radiation from thinning ozone, and these rapidly changing habitats in the face of global warming and unknowns. The scientists are as frustrated in the amphibian loss as the apiarists are in the honeybee loss, in trying to find out exactly what is wrong and how can we, the human species, can we do anything about stopping the decline and the increasing extinctions. And when you think about this, that the amphibians were around at the time of the dinosaurs and before, and they survived.
That's right.
Whatever wiped out the dinosaurs.